is a commonly used pesticide getting dogs and some people sick in Las Vegas. A change.org petition is going around right now with more than 1,000 signatures asking to stop the use of a specific pesticide. Danielle Del Nodal started the petition after her Rottweiler Mowgli became sick. Danielle, welcome to State of Nevada.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So, Danielle, let's start off with what's going on with Mowgli. When did he start getting sick, and what symptoms were you seeing?
Yeah, Joe. So we moved to the Summerlin area about 3 years ago, and then in January of this year, Mowgli just had the strangest symptoms that we've ever seen. He had like uncontrollable drooling. He lost 10 pounds all of a sudden. He had these weird burns and rashes inside of his mouth and gums. He was throwing up just every single day. So we took him to numerous vets to figure out what the issue was. And all they could tell us is that he was having an extreme autoimmune response. And after $15,000 later, we just decided, you know, we can't keep testing him for all these things. They test him for flea and tick diseases. They tested him for heartworm. They tested him for valley fever. So numerous tests, thousands of dollars, and still no answers.
Well, I just wondered, did they have any theories? Did any of them make the connection that maybe chemicals could be part of this?
So no, they just kind of said he had an extreme autoimmune response. And that's all that they could treat him for. They didn't find anything specifically wrong with him. But then when my husband was sitting outside in our backyard in Summerlin one day, we saw that these landscapers drove by and they had these huge containers of like this liquid, like sloshing around in it. And they drove behind our house. And I don't know if that they were spraying it back there or if it was just in the air from it being sloshing around. But all of a sudden, Mowgli started to drool, and then he vomited for an entire week after that. He was shaking. He had a seizure. So we kind of saw, putting two and two together, that it was something environmental going on.
Wow. Your petition specifically mentioned the herbicide Speed Zone. It's sold mm-hmm. and used widely. What can you tell us? I'm sure you've researched it. Tell us about it and federal use regarding its use.
Yeah, so Speed Zone, the active ingredient in that is 2,4-D, also known as Trimec, and it's highly toxic to humans and pets. And among a lot of the symptoms that animals get from this poisoning is drooling, burns and rashes around their mouth, gastric issues, seizures, loss of appetite. So a lot of the symptoms that Mowgli had is very similar to what the poisoning from this chemical is. And also we found out that they are spraying Roundup Quick Pro, which that active ingredient is glyphosate, which we know we've seen in the news, you know, those numerous lawsuits for Roundup now coming out, causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and all of those issues in humans.
I'm talking to Danielle Del Nodal. Months ago, her Rottweiler became suddenly sick. His hind legs stopped working for a while. He lost a lot of weight. Danielle and others in her Summerlin community are worried that herbicides and pesticides that are being sprayed on walking trails and at parks are making their animals sick. And Danielle, you learned, as I sort of just hinted at, that you weren't the only person experiencing this. People were posting about their sick animals in neighborhood groups online. Can you talk about what some of the other people said, some of the worries they had?
Yeah, Joe. So right before this interview, I was looking over. I have a document with over 30 pages of comments and complaints from local residents about their pets falling ill from the spraying, they believe. I've got a woman who has had numerous cats in the Summerlin area, and all of them died of mouth cancer. And her veterinarian said that's extremely rare. And looking up these, you know, toxic ingredients and what they cause in pets, these burns and rashes around the mouth are very common. There's a Labrador Retriever a woman sent me a photo of that had a sore on his mouth as well. There's been numerous people that believe that their dogs have died from the spraying because they had, you know, a barreled rib cage thinning in their hind legs, just like how Mowgli has now. He's got this large rib cage, probably from inflammation or something, but it's very, very unfortunate that there's all these pets in Summerlin that are becoming ill.
And what about people? Were people getting sick at all? Were they saying that?
Yeah, there's a few people that believe that their children's asthma has been getting worse since they moved to Summerlin, or rashes that they found on their own body. And I know personally, my husband, he has really bad eczema, but ever since moving here, it's been the worst we've ever seen. Just very, very intense eczema, lots of rashes, and not able to heal. And we actually have moved outside of Las Vegas just to see if that would help. And we've noticed an increase in our health after moving and leaving the area.
So the area where your dog was exposed, who's responsible for spraying that area for weeds, pesticides?
So the Summerlin Homeowners Association contracted two landscapers to work on our 10 acres of recreational areas and parks within Summerlin. And that would be Par 3 Landscape and then Bright View Landscape. We actually heard from Bright View Landscape at the HOA council meeting a month ago, and they talked to us about how they've been using this product, Roundup Quick Pro and Speed Zone, for 20 years. We haven't had any issues. However, Joe, it's crazy that there's a neighborhood in California, Arrowhead, California. A reporter just recently released a story about numerous dogs dying in that area, and Bright View Landscape was the same contractor.
And what about the HOA? What's their response? I'm sure you've talked to them and talked about this.
Yeah, Randy Ackland, who's the president of the Summerlin Council, he spoke with me. He said that they've paused the spraying temporarily until the EPA finishes their investigation.
Oh, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, is involved? What are they doing?
Yeah. So the Nevada Department of Agriculture, per the EPA's guidance, is testing soil samples throughout numerous Summerlin parks and areas, and even some neighbors' homes that have written to them and said that their pets have fallen ill. So those lab results, we're hoping we get back soon so that we can figure out, you know, what the level in the soil is.
Were you the one and your neighbors who got them interested?
Yeah, so I filed a complaint with the EPA after seeing those landscaping trucks behind our home, because it's also a dual-use drainage facility. So if they are spraying in that area frequently, that's against federal law, because that product should not get back into our waterways.
Now, you told our producer that this whole episode has really upended your life, not just for your dog, but your whole family. How so?
I think, you know, hearing from all these other pet owners has been really frustrating. And then thinking about the impacts long-term of us and our children and people that live in that area, that's really what's fought for us to continue moving this forward and letting the community know they have the right to know what products are being used around their homes and their families and in the parks. This is affecting, you know, numerous residents. I mean, I think in Summerlin, we have over 159,000 residents.
Now, I don't know if chemistry is in your background. I mean, is this something entirely new to you, or what is it that you do?
I'm a Pilates instructor, so I had really no idea, other than knowing Roundup had numerous lawsuits of people saying that it caused their cancer. But now that we've kind of gotten involved in figuring out what's being used, it's kind of led us down this rabbit hole of all of the issues that we have going on and how often these products are being sprayed in our environment. I mean, the crazy thing is glyphosate is a water-soluble toxin, and it's continuing to stay in our environment, and it's continuing being used. Over 4.5 billion pounds of glyphosate is said to be used worldwide. It's spraying around schools, lawns, golf courses, so many different areas that we interact with.
Yeah. Now, you're waiting for these results from the EPA tests. What are you hoping happens here, or where do you go from here?
So I think that it's great that Summerlin, you know, stopped the spraying. I think that was totally at the direction of the EPA. But moving forward, I think we need to, you know, look into who is in charge of contracting these landscapers and why was it not asked, hey, what products are we being used around all these residents? I mean, we know Roundup is, you know, not good. I mean, there's numerous lawsuits. So not even kind of knowing about this, after researching, I knew before this how awful that product was in the health and in our environment. Guess just hoping that they make some changes from here, and, you know, maybe even some government can, you know, I don't know.
I was going to ask you, I neglected to ask you, did you perhaps ever get a hold of your city council person representing that area?
So I contacted Susie Lee's office a couple of times, and I've never heard back from them. I've contacted, you know, local governments too in Vegas, and I have not heard back from anybody.
Okay. And that's Danielle Del Nodal. She's a pet owner trying to get answers about what's making her dog Mowgli sick. She started a change.org petition about the use of herbicides in Summerlin. Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Up next, we're going to talk to a veterinarian about what these kinds of chemicals can do to an animal and the warning signs that pet owners should be looking out for. This is State of Nevada. From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. Some pet owners in Summerlin are worried pesticides and herbicides sprayed in common areas of their neighborhoods are making their dogs sick. It got so bad, one woman got the Nevada Department of Agriculture to do some tests. And we're going to talk about those test results in a minute. But first, Dr. Shadi Irefej, founder of Vet Triage, spoke to senior producer Kristen Kidman about the impacts that some of these chemicals can have on pets.
Dr. Irefej, have you and other veterinarians been hearing about or maybe even seen cases of animals who were exposed to pesticides or herbicides and then they became ill?
It's difficult because in order to come to that conclusion, it would have to be on your list of differentials as a doctor for a sick pet, and then you'd have to confirm your suspicion with diagnostics. So the majority of the literature out there that reports this in dogs and other species, but the focus was on canines, report testing either the vomit for pets that are vomiting or urine or blood work. So if the veterinarian doesn't have, let's say, an exposure as a differential diagnosis, then they're not going to test for it specifically, in which case it's all suspicion from that point on. So the answer is yes, with an asterisk. The pet owners will suspect it, doctors may suspect it, but as far as confirming it, it's few and far between depending on the doctor and the particularities of the case.
So if an animal was exposed, what type of symptoms could they have?
It seems fairly generic depending on what kind of herbicide exposure you're talking about. But in general, the common ones, you can divide it into acute symptoms. So those that are occurring immediately after exposure, and those that are chronic, which are those symptoms that are occurring after repeated bouts of exposure over a long period of time. The more acute exposures seem to be those that are gastrointestinal in nature, so vomiting, diarrhea, and then respiratory, so difficulty breathing or a fast respiratory rate, or neurologic, specifically abnormal jerky muscular motions called myotonia. Those are the short term. The long term effects, we see ulcerations of the mouth, we see drastic weight loss, we see gradual decrease in appetite. And so those are the two categories of symptoms you would expect to see with dogs that have had exposure to herbicides.
And in the literature that's out there, the research, are there any particular brands that are mentioned that could be causing a problem?
They don't mention specific brands, probably for obvious reasons, PR, marketing, what have you. But they do go into specifics of the chemicals that are involved. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on who you're asking, a lot of these products have more than one chemical in them. So a lot of them will have somewhere between 2 and 4 chemical combinations, with, of course, the purpose of killing plants. That's why that's why you would use these products. So they'll mention specific chemicals, but not necessarily brand names or products you can actually purchase. And then with those studies, you have to divide them into those studies that are purposely looking at what happens to dogs in an experimental setting upon exposure, and then those that are happening in, you know, quote unquote, real life scenarios in a clinical setting.
Danielle also had a lot of questions about glyphosate. This is one of the chemicals that was used in the pesticides and herbicides. Is glyphosate something that you hear about or see in these reports?
Absolutely, yes. It's one of the most widely used herbicides in the United States because it's non-selective. So it'll kill plants in a non-selective fashion, which means you can get more out of it every time you use it. So it's one of the more common ones that are used. It's been introduced into the agriculture since the 1970s, and both professionals and home gardeners utilize these products.
And once these areas have been sprayed, are they safe if an animal comes across them later on as opposed to right away?
So there are two methods of exposure. It's those dogs that are in the literal vicinity of the product being sprayed. But then there's also a second category, which is runoff. So those chemicals that are sprayed in someone else's lawn or a park or whatever, that then move from that localized area to another area where there's a dog that resides. So there's two different ways. I don't know if you want to call it maybe direct and indirect, but there are studies that show exposure in dogs that did not have direct exposure to a chemical like this, but still tested positive for the chemicals. And it's the same with people as well. If you look at the minimum allowed concentration in a person with exposure to these chemicals, it's not zero. It's a small number, but it's not zero. So there's expected to be runoff even in human cases where these chemicals get into whatever, food supply, water supply for people. So the same happens in dogs, and they obviously spend a lot of time in backyards and parks. So that's a fairly long-winded answer to Danielle's seemingly simple question.
No, that's really helpful. That helped me understand it a lot better too. I'm talking to Dr. Shadi Irafej about the impacts pesticides and herbicides can have on pets. A group of Summerlin pet owners are worried their animals are now ill after going into common areas like trails and dog parks or even around their homes. Dr. Irafej, how do you go about treating an animal that would have these symptoms?
The fortunate thing, I suppose, with this type of exposure is that even if your veterinarian doesn't know exactly that the herbicide is the cause and exactly what chemical in the herbicide or chemicals in the herbicide was the cause, you're gonna treat symptomatically anyway. There's no magic antidote. Even if your veterinarian did know that chemical A, B, and C are involved, there's no magic antidote for that. So they're gonna treat symptomatically, meaning if your pet's having breathing issues, they're going to address that with things like oxygen therapy, for example. If your pet has gastrointestinal signs like vomiting or diarrhea, they're gonna focus on anti-nausea drugs, anti-diarrhea drugs, fluid therapy to rehydrate. So it all depends on what symptoms your pet is showing anyway. What's unfortunate about dogs that come in ill with this is the vast majority of studies show that between 75 and 100% of dogs that are exposed, confirmed to be exposed to these chemicals, don't make it. They don't survive, even despite veterinary intervention. So if your pet has exposure and it's to the severity that are reported in the literature, which can happen within hours of exposure, the chances of surviving it despite your veterinarian's best effort may be quite small.
Like, this can't be cheap for pet owners either to go through all of these tests and all these treatments.
So those dogs that become quite ill from direct exposure to these chemicals are going to be sick rapidly. And because of that, you're going to be visiting the local veterinary emergency hospital and not making an appointment with your general practitioner in the next upcoming days or weeks. So because you need immediate care, because your dog is going to be sick quite quickly after the exposure has occurred, you're going to be visiting the emergency room. And because you're visiting the emergency room, which is what they're there for, life-saving measures, it usually comes with a pretty hefty price tag.
And do we know if these symptoms are similar in cats and other animals, other pets that might get exposed?
There are studies in cats, rats, and humans, and they do show similar signs. The interesting difference, though, if you look at the rate of metabolism in people who are exposed and in rats who are exposed, the drug clears the body in a much faster fashion than it does in dogs. That's why we see dogs become so ill to the point where the veterinarian can't even save them once the signs become evident. So in people and rats, the half-life of these chemicals are in a matter of hours. In dogs, it's days, which means every several days, the chemical decreases in concentration in the body by 50%. So it takes days just to cut the chemical down by 50% in the body when you're dealing with a dog. With a human or a rat, every several hours, the chemical decreases in concentration by 50%, so much faster clearance. So you don't get rats and humans as sick with exposure that you would in comparison to dogs. It's a very distinct species difference.
That's so interesting that there's such a variation between dogs and cats and rats and people when it comes to these chemicals.
There's lots of evidence in the veterinary field with different drugs and, you know, normal drugs that we prescribe all the way to chemical exposures, especially in dogs and cats. There's lots of anatomic and physiological differences. So we're in the profession, we're used to species differences. But when you compare it to a sad story like this one, then and you find out these facts, it is remarkable and explains a lot.
And in this story, we're talking about the concerns that these pet owners have about chemicals that are used in large scale in common areas or that were sprayed outside their house or in the parks. But people also use chemicals in their own lawns and gardens. Are there some that you would advise against or maybe some advice you would have for people that are using these on their own?
In my literature search with these products, I have not seen any that are deemed to be safe across the board, but there are also a massive paucity of literature out there. We have a long way to go when it comes to testing out every single possible chemical that is there on the market with every single species, including those species that we consider our pets. So just because the information isn't out there, it doesn't mean that product A, B, or C are going to be guaranteed to be safe. If you look at these products, they're meant to kill. The reason why they kill plants selectively is because these products inhibit or mimic or prevent production of specific amino acids, proteins, or hormones in plants that are not present in mammals. But that doesn't mean that there is not collateral damage. So the literature out there is good, but it's still not sufficient to the point where I can say you should definitely use product A over product B or C because of the studies out there. We don't have that information. All you can do is try to minimize, either don't use the chemicals at all, or try to minimize as much as you can your pet's exposure to them, keeping in mind just because you're not using the chemicals doesn't mean three houses down, they're not using it and it's running off into your lawn or your backyard.
And I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts on this situation and the concerns that these pet owners have.
We as veterinarians do hear a lot from pet owners that they suspect that a pesticide or herbicide is the cause of their pet's illness, or at least it's the only thing they can think of that changed in their pet's world. I think we as a profession tend to not listen as much as we should to those pet owners that describe that. If you look at pet poison hotlines, for example, in their databases of exposures, herbicides and pesticides are usually, if not the highest reported, it's like the second highest reported, especially in dogs. There is suspicion or proof out there, depending on what your definition of those two words are, that there are exposures and dogs are getting sick. So I think we as a profession, veterinarians, should be a bit more cognizant of what the pet owners are saying to us and do our research ahead of time. What laboratory tests do we need to have on hand or be able to submit to a laboratory if a pet owner comes to you with a suspicion of exposure that we can submit to the laboratory and get a confirmed diagnosis in a meaningful time frame?
That was Dr. Shadia Rafage, founder and owner of Vet Triage. Dr. Rafage, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Again, we're talking about pesticides and herbicides and the fact that some Summerlin pet owners believe the chemicals sprayed in common areas in their neighborhoods are making their animals sick. Danielle Del Nodal and other owners were so concerned they got the Nevada Department of Agriculture and the EPA involved. The department did some tests. Ultimately, they determined that the correct amount of spray was used outside of Danielle's home, in accordance with Nevada pesticide laws and regulations. They also confirmed that the only area tested was right outside of Danielle's home and not in parks or common areas in the neighborhood. We reached out to the Summerlin Council. They're the body that owns and operates the community's major parks, amenities, and common areas, and they sent us a statement which reads in part, Summerland Council exclusively uses licensed landscape contractors who must meet or exceed all federal and state regulations and manufacturer specifications when selecting and applying landscape management products. As we prioritize the health of our residents, their pets, and the surrounding environment, we continue to proactively evaluate weed control strategies in our parks and community spaces. Pet owner Danielle Del Nodal also received a copy of the report from the Nevada Department of Agriculture. We first interviewed her before the report came out, and she's back with us now. So, Danielle, what are your thoughts on the findings? Do you agree with what the investigators found?
So what the investigators found in the report is that there was glyphosate on three of our plants in our backyard. So I do agree with that. I feel that there was definitely some spray that drifted onto our backyard and unfortunately has made our dog very sick.
So that drug, which you described, is an active ingredient in Roundup. Is that a pesticide that is banned in that area?
No, unfortunately, it's not banned. It has been banned in other states, but not Nevada yet. So that's the unfortunate part.
So they did find the chemical, which is, again, part of Roundup, which is an herbicide, in your lawn or in parts of your lawn. And that is not banned, though, in Nevada, is it?
Correct. It's not banned. However, if it's used against federal law, that would be spraying while there's people around, spraying before the product has dried. We witnessed all of those accounts, and numerous neighbors have as well noticed that they would spray and then allow people to walk in the area, even spraying while there's people and pets around.
And you've also told our producer that since the last time we spoke, you've heard that more dogs in the area are getting sick. Talk about that. What's going on?
Yeah, so it is so heartbreaking because there are numerous pets that I hear from or pet owners that I hear from all the time saying that their dog has gastric issues. Their dog just randomly is throwing up. They've spent so much money at the vet. So almost like every other day I'm hearing from neighbors who found the page and have let us know that their pets are ill as well. And they believe this is the cause.
And have you or other pet owners heard from Summerlin HOA leaders or other representatives about the test results?
No, I have not heard. I even contacted Randy Eklund, the president of the Summerlin Council, and I asked him, is there a way that we can use another product? I sent him information, all three resources from the National Pesticide Information Center about how to go pesticide-free in a community. So I still have not heard from him.
Danielle, then where do you go from here?
I think from here, Joe, it's trying to get this banned, trying to get it first to stop being used around 150,000 plus residents when we know that this active ingredient, glyphosate, can cause Alzheimer's, dementia, asthma, numerous amounts of cancer. So that is our priority right now, is getting this to be no longer used in Summerlin and then hopefully no longer in Nevada.
So are you going to be going maybe to the legislature next year with a concerted effort? Are you going to try to create a bill with a lawmaker to potentially ban it in Nevada?
I'm not sure. I think that's something that I'm leaning towards doing right now. I'm trying to just gather more information about the product and why it's been legal for so long when there's numerous studies of it causing all these issues. So that could definitely be a possibility. I would love to hear from Randy Eklund first and see why it is that he's continuing to use these products after we hear from neighbors that their dogs are dying on the parks. I mean, it's awful.
And how is your dog Mowgli doing now?
Mowgli has new symptoms almost every other day. We took him to the emergency vet last week, and our vet here in Flagstaff told us that he had meningitis. So we rushed him to the Phoenix Hospital last week. We drove 2 hours because we thought that he was having some sort of issue with his spine. And then later we found out when we took him to the vet in Phoenix, they said that he had arthritis. So it's very weird. His symptoms change constantly. He has this weird sore on his body that continues to bleed. They thought it was a hot spot. It's not. It's just incredibly bizarre to see what this has done to our dog. And thankfully, we've been able to move out of the area. So I just I'm here to just kind of talk about this so that other pets and pet owners can be aware of what this is doing.
I want to ask you one more question, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. So as we noted, and as the test noted, the only area tested was by your home, not common areas in Summerlin. Are you going to ask for more additional tests?
So crazy. The Nevada Department of Agriculture said that they would test these parks because numerous neighbors wrote to them and said, hey, my dog died on this park, like Summerlin Center Park. There was a dog that just had a seizure randomly, 2 years old. They don't know why. The dog had a clean bill of health before this. So there's other people that have had similar instances. They've asked them to test the parks, and we thought that they were testing the parks. And then when I heard from the investigator, he said that they couldn't, because someone had to create, someone had to write in when they were actively seeing a violation. But because people are saying, okay, this happened a month ago, my dog was on the lawn and had a seizure, they can't investigate that. That's not something that they do. So they only are monitoring these companies that are spraying these products for spraying violations. The EPA would be in charge of, you know, recognizing whether that product is okay to be used around humans and pets.
Well, it sounds like you're learning a lot about this stuff you probably never even considered before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy because it's, you know, now up in the news too. I mean, last week we just, you know, heard about the CDC. They were testing like urine samples of children and adults, and they found 80% of urine has this ingredient glyphosate in it in the United States. And it's something that, you know, we know causes cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease. I mean, all these different illnesses, and it's continued to be used. And that's what's so frustrating.
That was Danielle Del Nodal. She is a pet owner who started a change.org petition with more than 1,000 signatures when her dog suddenly became ill. She believes herbicides and or pesticides used in common areas near her home are behind the sickness. Tests, though, from the Nevada Department of Agriculture found that the appropriate amount of pesticides and herbicides are being used. She now plans to potentially enlist state lawmakers to try to get at least one of those herbicides banned in Nevada. Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
This is State of Nevada.